Welcome, everyone, to an edition of Governed by God, a biblical look at law, civics, and government. My name is Eric Leopold, and thank you for joining me on today's episode. So what I wanted to do today is respond and review a recent interview that took place of Richard Dawkins on a radio show called the LBC. And the show was posted about 12 days ago or so, about 2 weeks. And it's gotten some traction in certain circles, but it's only about 8 minutes long. But it's particularly striking of an interview. And for those of you who don't know, Richard Dawkins wrote books like The God Delusion. He's a very, very staunch atheist and has spoken out against religion, and including Christianity, over the course of many years. He's a very devout believer in evolutionary theory. And so what he's about to say in this interview, I just found so interesting that I wanted to respond to it and review it today. So I'm just going to play the clip and go through it. At certain points, I'll stop. And I think you'll find it interesting and worth considering. So let's just go ahead and begin.
Mr. Dawkins, it's very good to have you join us to discuss whether it matters that Christianity is playing a diminishing role in national life. Welcome to LBC.
Thank you.
And what would be your Easter message? I've said a few things. What would you tell the nation?
Well, I must say I was slightly horrified to hear that Ramadan is being promoted instead. I do think that we are culturally a Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I'm not a believer. But there's a distinction between being a believing Christian and being a cultural Christian. And so, you know, I love hymns and Christmas carols, and I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense.
Let me pause right there. So, all right, starting off, he says, okay, there's a difference between a believing Christian and a cultural Christian. But we need to go looking into that a little more deeply. So what is a culture? When you use that term, culture, what is that referring to? Well, I think people mean a lot of different things by it, but the word culture comes in its root from the Latin word referring to grow or to tend, and it's where we get the word cultivate from. So a culture is something that grows from something, and in a simple way, it's the outworking of one's beliefs. And there are subcultures everywhere, even within larger cultures. So an example being that we have an American culture, but in Pennsylvania, there's a different culture, or a culture that's within that. But then different professions have cultures. So the military has a culture, or what you would call a subculture. But even in the military, there are different cultures inside there. Pilots versus, you know, let's say maintenance personnel or medical professionals. Those groups all have their own lingo and their behavior and different celebrations and essentially a way of life. So all these cultures are nested and they interact with one another. But a Christian culture is that. It is the language, the behavior, the celebrations, the way of life that comes out of a Christian belief. So what's interesting here is that a cultural Christian essentially wants the results of Christianity. He wants the fruit of it. You wouldn't get that if no one actually believed it. So let's continue.
It's true that statistically the number of people who actually believe in Christianity is going down. And I'm happy with that. But I would not be happy if, for example, we lost all our cathedrals and our beautiful parish churches. So I count myself a cultural Christian. I think it would matter if we substituted any alternative religion. That would be truly dreadful.
Okay. So he says if we put in any alternative religion, that's dreadful. He enjoys the ethos, though, the general behavior and way of life. But he then says it's a good thing that less people are believing in Christianity. And I don't understand how he doesn't see the disconnect there. And this, I think, is a problem with atheism, is that it it believes that you can just rip out the soil. It believes that you can just rip out the roots of what's growing and then expect the soil to just stay bare, that it's going to be quote unquote neutral or secular. But the thing is that something's always going to grow. You're always growing something. There's always a culture. Every group of people produce a culture based on what they believe in, what they value. And you can't just rip out one and then expect nothing to take its place. Something is going to take its place. Some belief system is going to take its place. And that's the problem here with, I think, atheism. He's surprised by what's happening. He, on the one hand, calls for the reduction in Christian beliefs. He wants people to stop believing what Christianity teaches. But on the other hand, he's lamenting that all the trappings that come with it are going away. Well, you can't have one without the other. It just doesn't follow. Let's continue.
As we know, church attendance is plummeting, but the erection of mosques across Europe, I think 6,000 are under construction, and there are many more, are being planned. So do you regard that as a problem? Do you think that matters?
Yes, I do, really. I choose my words carefully. If I had to choose between Christianity and Islam, I choose Christianity every single time. It seems to me to be a fundamentally decent religion, in a way that I think Islam is not.
Okay, so that's interesting that he would say that. He would choose Christianity every single time. I'm curious as to what he says about why he thinks it's decent. Because remember, he's using a standard of judgment. He's saying, well, I'm judging between Islam and Christianity, and I like Christianity because it's a decent religion. And I'm curious as to what standard he's using, because, again, from an atheistic evolutionary theory perspective, evolution is just a process. It's really a competitive process, survival of the fittest, and random chance kind of thing. There really is no such thing as good and evil from the perspective of a cold, dark, purposeless, and meaningless universe. So I'm not sure what he's complaining about. He really doesn't have a leg to stand on as far as his complaints go. So he's using a standard of judgment, a value standard. But I'm not sure why his value standard should be the correct one or why anybody should care. But he thinks Christianity is decent, which is interesting. So we'll continue here.
I think you're going to have to explain why you say that, Professor Dawkins. Why is Islam fundamentally not decent like Christianity?
Yes, the way women are treated. Christianity is not great about that. It's had its problems with female vicars and female bishops and things. But there's an active hostility to women, which is promoted, I think, by the holy books of Islam. I'm not talking about individual Muslims, who, of course, are quite different, but the doctrines of Islam, the Hadith and the Quran, is fundamentally hostile to women, hostile to gays, I find that I like to live in a culturally Christian country, although I do not believe a single word of the Christian faith.
Okay, all right. So he says, I would like to live in a Christian country, but I do not believe a single word of it. It's ridiculous. I don't understand how he cannot see the ridiculousness of it. It's like saying, I really love the house that I'm living in, but I just want to rip the foundations out. I'm just going to dynamite the foundations. I'm going to get the jackhammer and the sledgehammer, and we are just going to chisel away at the foundations of this house. But man, I love this house. It's a beautiful house. It's great to live in. But this foundation has got to go. And you can do that for a little bit, but if you remove the foundations, pretty soon that house is coming down. It is not standing up. And so I just don't understand how he doesn't see the connection there. Now, earlier he was kind of critiquing Christianity. He's got problems with gays and with women. It's still not treating them properly. So what he's doing, though, is he has his own belief system, his own system of values that he is proposing. And he's using it, basically, how one treats homosexuals and women. And he's got it in his own mind. He's got his view of how those groups should be treated. And then he judges Islam and he judges Christianity and says, well, Christianity's better. But I'm still, I'd be curious as to why he gets those values, where those values come from. Because I would say, from an evolutionary, purely evolutionary perspective, with the goal of the survival of the species, homosexuality makes no sense. That's another topic for another time, but he certainly has certain beliefs that he wants to propose, and he's bringing his values, and he's using his idea of good and evil to judge these religions. But again, I don't think he has a leg to stand on with that, and it's just particularly ridiculous that he doesn't believe a single word of Christianity. I'm just curious about that, like not even about loving your neighbor or not even about made in the image of God. Let's see what he says about that.
Just for balance, should we say something about fundamentalist Christians who, you know, we can see abortion rights, reproductive rights being rolled back in you know, Republican states in America. So Christianity is still not without its problems when it comes to women and their rights.
Well, you didn't ask me about Christianity in America. That's a different matter entirely.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure we've got some fundamentalist Christians here too, but not as public.
Well, insofar as fundamentalist Christians oppose evolution and think that the world was created 6,000 years ago, I mean, that is pernicious nonsense, of course.
Okay, pernicious nonsense. What's really nonsense is the idea all life just randomly came together from non-life, that you put all these you know, pieces of metal and things in a junkyard and you send a tornado through it and becomes a 747. Just the randomness of evolutionary theory, that life can come from non-life or that you can form a complex feature like an eye, step-by-step process just through random chance. That is, that's pernicious nonsense. His arrogance is quite interesting. He certainly is not like the fundamentalists who actually believe what the Bible says, because, you know, that's where you actually get a Christian culture. You're not going to get a culture from even if people just read the book and say, yeah, that's interesting. A culture's not going to develop out of that. So you're only going to get a Christian culture from people who actually believe what the Bible has to say. So that's quite amusing the way he said that.
Right. Well, so I think I see where you come from. I like the phrase, you're a cultural Christian. I think I'm a bit more than a cultural Christian, although, you know, it does, my belief waxes and wanes. Would it be a good thing or a bad thing if we became a less Christian country? And just on the, you know, the foundation of this nation, with the king being the head of church and state, do you think it provides a solid foundation that we would lose something if, let's say, there was a Muslim majority?
Well, yes. I think the king, when he was Prince of Wales, was actually rather sympathetic towards Islam, and one of the problems I felt. No, I think it would be a terrible thing. And insofar as Christianity can be seen as a bulwark against Islam, I think it's a very good thing. I mean, in Africa, for example, where you have missionaries of both faiths operating, I'm on team Christian side as far as that's concerned.
Okay. Again, I just cannot stop laughing at this. This is just ridiculousness of it. I'm on team Christian. This is what I find very striking. What he's basically saying here, it seems like, is he's got his belief system, which I would argue is rooted in a form of paganism, but we don't need to get into that right now. But he's got his belief system, and he doesn't believe a word of Christianity, but he is concerned about Islam, and he wants Christianity to be the bulwark against Islam, and he's on team Christianity when it comes to that. And I kind of wonder, like, well, do you think so lowly of your own belief system that you don't think your quote-unquote secular atheist belief system can defeat Islam? It seems like what he's looking for is someone to deal with Islam, and he doesn't think that secular atheism and materialism can do it. He thinks Christianity can do it and needs to do it. I find that a little interesting. And what does that have to say about his own value system if he doesn't even believe that it's capable of withstanding Islam? All right, well, let's continue.
Interesting, because I sort of thought that you would be more of a Hitchenite, God is not great advocate. But it's interesting to me that you see the value and the force for good of the United Kingdom having a Christian foundation.
Yes, but I must emphasize that I think that the things that Christians believe are actually nonsense. I mean, I think that when you say you...
Okay, I got the things that Christians believe are actual nonsense. So he sees the value and the force of good of having a Christian foundation, but he actually thinks it's nonsense. That it's like going into a house and you really love the house and you go down to the basement and the person talks about the foundations and you're like, those are just nonsense. That's stupid. Rip those suckers out. And you kind of wonder, well, what do you think is going to happen after that? So he thinks that things that Christians actually believe are nonsense. Okay, what about Jesus is Lord? What about that he has given us a way to live? What about God made man in his image and that there are only two genders? Or what about we're supposed to love our neighbors and God talks about how to do that? I'm curious, does he actually think all of it's nonsense?
You waver. I wanted to ask you, do you actually believe that Jesus had a virgin for a mother? Do you actually believe he rose from the dead? I suspect
Well, weirdly,
you don't.
Since you ask, Richard, if I may, because I was at New College when you were, I think, are you still a don at New College? Yes.
Well, I'm retired.
You're retired, but you don't look anyway. Weirdly, I was just 3 weeks ago at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, where the Christians believe that Christ was crucified, or there was the tomb, or the Gethsemane was just there, and Golgotha was there. And I have to admit that there is a real force. I mean, it feels like the fulcrum of three world religions. It really does. And Christianity is palpable there. The place pulses with Christianity. I don't know whether it made me believe the Bible anymore, but I certainly felt that Jesus was a historical figure. Yes, I did believe that. Well, Am I wrong to think that?
No. I mean, that's quite different. But do you believe that his mother was a virgin?
Well, I mean, maybe that was a mistranslation of... Well, that's biologically impossible, isn't it?
Of course it is, yes.
Well, I mean, I used to make a joke that most second children are virgin births because you can... Anyway, we don't want to go into that.
Yes.
But yes, you know what I'm saying.
Okay, that interesting back and forth there. So it seems like they both are fine with the idea of Jesus being a historical figure, but it's quite different to say that the virgin birth happened. So it's biologically impossible. But again, what are they assuming? They assume a purely naturalistic world. Do you know what else is biologically impossible? Life developing from non-life by chance, by random chance. That you just throw a whole bunch of chemicals together, electricity or whatnot, and poof, all of a sudden you get single-celled organisms. That's biologically impossible. Or, you have these creatures that reproduce after their own kind, and then eventually from that comes a whole other creature. No, that's also biologically impossible. So which group holds to biologically impossible? Both groups have miracles in their worldview. Every worldview has to have some miracle, because you have to explain how everything came from nothing. That's what you have to explain, unless you're going to argue that all the stuff is eternal, that there was never a point that the stuff did not exist. But I don't know anyone who actually believes that. So anyways, it's just funny how they assume a naturalistic world, but they don't judge their own worldview by the same standard.
Were you pleased that Rishi Sunak talked about Christian values in his... He said Christian values are British values in his Easter message. You seem to be on the same page.
Yes, I didn't hear that. But
that's what he said.
Yes, I suppose so. But I don't want to be misunderstood. I mean, I do think it's nonsense. The Christian belief, today is Easter, and of course I don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I don't believe you do either. Do you?
Do I believe that Jesus rose from the dead? I mean, you're really putting me on the spot. I would like to believe he did. Yes, I mentioned the resurrection.
Different.
I mentioned the resurrection.
Now, that was a very interesting back and forth. So again, he keeps reiterating, I think it's nonsense. Okay. If nobody believes that Jesus rose from the dead, then there's not going to be a Christian culture. I mean, it's just simple, right? And then she goes on to say, well, I would like to believe. And I'm just like, yeah, I would like to believe a lot of things. There's a lot of things I would like to believe. But, I mean, we're not wishing upon a star here. I mean, I would like to believe all sorts of things. But it doesn't really matter. What matters is actually what happened. And the Apostle Paul makes this very clear in 1 Corinthians, where he talks about if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we are still in our sins, and we are, of all people, the most to be pitied. I mean, we're essentially wasting our time. What are we doing on Sunday morning if Jesus did not rise from the dead? Why are we doing these things? Why do we talk this way? Why do we celebrate these things like Easter? Why do we build churches and cathedrals? Why do we sing these songs and write these songs? Why would you do that if you believe it's all nonsense and none of it actually happened? So I just find it so funny that they can say these things with a straight face, both him and his interviewer, both Richard Dawkins and the woman there. So, wow, just amazing. All right, we're almost done.
Just quickly, because I've been told we've got to stop. When my son was two, we took him to church, and the priest said, you can ask me anything. And he said, that my two-year-old son said, asked the priest, do you know Jesus to be true, or do you believe Jesus to be true? And do you see what I mean? And he couldn't answer that question himself. Anyway,
yes.
Or God. Anyway, listen, lastly, just one thing.
Okay, well, before she gets to that, just one thing. That's an interesting question. Do you know or do you believe? You could ask that question about anything. Someone could say, well, do you know that your wife loves you, or do you believe that your wife loves you? Okay. Or you could even say, do you know that you ate spaghetti for dinner 2 days ago, or do you believe it? And you would say, I know it. I know it because I went through it. I experienced it. I was there. But that person could also say, well, prove it to me. I say, well, I can't prove to you that I ate spaghetti 2 days ago. And I can't prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that my wife loves me. You know, so is this one of those things? Or even someone could say, do you know that's your children? Or do you believe that those are your children? No, I know. Well, how do you know? Well, can you prove it? I suppose I could. If I need to prove it, I could, I suppose, with a biological test. But no, I do know that they're my children. Oh, okay. So it's a trick question, because no human can claim to know things the way God knows them. See, God knows things omnisciently. He knows all things, and he knows things perfectly, infallibly. He knows everything that can be known as deeply as it could be known, and as accurately and perfectly as it could be known. But our knowledge is not like that. It's a derivative knowledge, okay? We're made in God's image. We do have knowledge. So one of the things we need to keep in mind is simply because we don't have omniscience or infallibility doesn't mean we can't have real knowledge. So yes, I do know that Jesus is Lord, and I do believe it at the same time. I know it because God revealed it to me through his word. God communicates to his people. God has communicated through general revelation, through we look at the design of the world and the human body made in God's image, and we know that God exists. Romans 1 talks about that. They know God, but they hate him. And in the same way, God speaks through his special revelation, through his word. And so there are things that we know. Now, we can reject them and hate them, but we still know them. I mean, the devil and his angels, they know that God exists, and they know that Jesus is the Son of God. But they hate him, and they reject it. So that's why those kinds of questions are trick questions, and you have to really understand what's being asked there. So let's finish up.
Does it matter, I'm going to ask you again, if Christianity is a minority religion in this country?
I think it matters from a cultural point of view.
That's a very clear answer from you, Richard Dawkins. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay. So he says it does matter from a culture point of view. Well, that culture is going away. If people don't believe it, it's not going to stay around. Something else will be believed, and something will take its place. You cannot have the fruit without the tree. And if you rip out the tree of Christianity, you will also pretty soon not be able to eat the fruit of Christianity. Oh yeah, there's still some fruit that you've picked that's in storage and that's, you know, left over, and they're enjoying that. But now Richard Dawkins is seeing that the fruit's running out. The hymns and the buildings and the celebrations, that's all going away, and he's sad about that. But man, he hates trees. He hates the Christian tree. He wants those to burn. Well, oh, you're not going to end up getting much fruit when you destroy all the trees. And you're going to get a new tree with a new kind of fruit, and that's going to be the fruit of Islam, as it appears to be in Europe and in England. So anyways, I hope that you found that interview interesting. I could not help but talking about that because of how disconnected and how contradictory it really seems. So as Christians, we need to think about these things and be able to answer these questions. And I really do think that atheism is going to have some struggles, and they might, who knows, maybe as Islam grows, maybe Dawkins will actually come to realize that you can't have the fruit without the root. So maybe he'll become a Christian who actually believes the nonsense, right? All right. Well, thank you for tuning in on today's episode. If you have any questions, comments, please email me at thegbgpodcast@gmail.com or go on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and message me there. Look for Governed by God. Please share the show with a friend and give the thumbs up, stars, reviews. That just helps to get this out to more people. But again, I hope that you enjoyed it. And until next time, take care.